All right. Thank you, man. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you take them and go with me to 2 Chronicles and chapter number 33 in your Bibles this morning, the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 34. I'm dyslexic this morning. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Good to be in God's house today. It's always a wonderful privilege to open the Bible and preach God's word. Amen? And wonderful passage of scripture I want to bring out this morning in the life of a young king, an 8-year-old king named Josiah in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And I want you to follow along with me this morning as I read this passage of scripture. We're going to begin with verse number 1 and read through verse number 13. Of this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and let's begin with verse number 1 in the Bible. The Bible says here, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. And he cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images to powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites had kept the doors, had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel, and all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath of Obadiah, the Levites, the sons of Merari, Zechariah, Meshulam, the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. And they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. Let's stop there this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and preach it. And God, we need your power and your blessing and your help this morning as we open your word. And I just pray, dear Lord, that you meet with us in a wonderful way. Bless thy word this morning, Father, we pray. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is really an amazing passage of scripture because of the background that the passage of scripture comes from. It is a picture. It's an 8-year-old boy named Josiah who becomes the king of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be pretty hard for me to follow an 8-year-old king. Amen? In my mind, 8-year-olds just need good spankings. Amen? I mean, you know, it'd be hard to follow an 8-year-old. But what makes this passage very interesting and very important is that this 8-year-old did right in the sight of the Lord. Now, can I tell you, it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. God wants everyone, no matter what your age is, to do right in the sight of the Lord. That is, you know, sometimes a person will say, well, I can't serve the Lord because I'm this age. Can I tell you that's phooey? In fact, that's baloney phooey. I don't know what baloney phooey is, but it sure is fits the description of that pretty well, I would say. Amen? So it doesn't matter your age. And by the way, kids cannot use the excuse, I didn't do right because I'm a kid. That doesn't work with God, does it? No, it's up to everyone, no matter what age you are, to follow the Lord and obey the Lord. But that's not the only thing that makes this interesting and a powerful passage. But when you also know who his father and his grandfather were and the kind of influence that was in his life, it makes it doubly more interesting as to why this 8-year-old boy would be a king that would do right. So I want you to go back to chapter 33. We're going to look at his daddy and we're going to look at his grandpa. And we're going to look at the kind of home that this guy grew up in. So go to chapter 33 and I want you to look at verse number 18. And his grandfather's name was Manasseh and his father's name was Amon. And we're going to look at these two men for just a moment here as we set the introduction. Verse 18, notice what it says. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. By the way, the book of Kings goes very similarly to the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. They are chronicles of history of the kings of Israel. All right, verse number 19. His prayer also and how God was entreated of him and all his sins and his trespasses and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, are they not written in the sayings of the seers? So Manasseh slept with his fathers and they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them. And notice, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah the son king in his stead. Now, notice, this 8-year-old boy comes in at a time when a group of people had just slew and just killed his father. And then another group of people come in and kill the people that killed his father. Okay? And so there's no king left but this 8-year-old boy, and his name's Josiah, and they put the 8-year-old on the throne. Now you talk about political unrest. An 8-year-old boy steps in. And if I know anything about an 8-year-old boy, they're not always confident about what they do. unless they do it behind your back. Right? They're not always confident about what they do, and they're still in learning stages, and they have not quite grabbed much confidence in life yet. And here's an 8-year-old boy. He steps to the throne, and all these people now give their obeisance to this 8-year-old boy. What an amazing place this boy finds himself. I think I'd be worried about the political upheaval that's going on behind the scenes. But you know, 8-year-olds don't really think about that. They're just kids. And they should be kids, right? When they're 8 years old. But he's thrust into the throne. You know, they pulled him away from playing with his toys and his trucks, from being with his other friends, and said, you can't be with them anymore. You're the king. And the king of Israel was also the judge of Israel. So what that meant, don't lose me. What that meant was everybody came to him for advice and understanding and the law in the situations of life that they found themselves. And he had to decide what was right and what was wrong. What principles did he have to go by? Very little. Because his father never taught him the ways of the Lord. The Bible tells us and reminds us, we saw it, he sinned more and more and more. This guy could just not get a hold of his life. You'd think that you had, if you had an 8-year-old boy in your home, that you'd want to get on the right track. You'd think that if you were a king of a kingdom and you were responsible to judge rightly, you would think that he would feel responsible for how he led the people. And you'd think, this boy is not going to come to the throne and do much. He's going to be a pawn in the hand of whoever whispers in his ear. He's going to be this little guy that whoever is sitting next to the right of him, they're going to follow him regardless of whoever he is. He's a pawn in their hand. And that's what you would think would be the result of Josiah's reign. But can I tell you what? It was amazingly different. When this boy took over the throne, he did not have fear in him. He said these words, I want Israel and Jerusalem to get back on track. And that is what I want to preach to you this morning. Because we live today in a world where so many people are off track. And they've gotten off track or derailed. And do you know Josiah, 8-year-old boy, didn't matter his age, he was able to get Jerusalem back on track. You know, I meet people from time to time that desire to get their life back on track. And I want to tell you something. Once you get off track, it's hard. And I have a soft spot in my heart for people like that. Because I want to see them back on the right track. But even more than I want to see that as a preacher, God wants to see that in their life. And they really do want to see that. You know, a lot of people in life, and maybe you fit in this category where you just seem like many times you can't get fully on track for the Lord. And I want to tell you, you probably have less to surmount than Josiah did in getting Israel back on track. You and I probably have less. He had it all going on. Political confusion. I mean, he had no background of a father taught him right. He didn't know what was right. He had a, it was nothing but a challenge. But he said The way my father taught me was not the way I'm going to go. I'm not going to live that way. And may I tell you what? There's a lot of people in this world who have to understand that the way they've been taught is not necessarily the way God wants them to live. And such was the life of Josiah. But I want to tell you something. Before his reign was over, Israel was back on track. They were back and serving the Lord. They didn't have all the mess going on like they did with his father and his grandfather. But Israel's back on track. And I pray this morning that something said in this message, if you feel like you're a little bit off track with God, it's my prayer this morning that something that Josiah did will grab hold of your heart and reach down into the recesses of your soul and give you an anchor by which you can get on track for the Lord. I want to show you what he did. What did he do? Number one, I want you to see, he got the right kind of heroes in his life. Now, I want you to see this. Look with me at verse number 3. It says here, we're in chapter 34, verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, what did he do? He began to seek after the God of David, his father. He said, I can't look to my father, Ammon. He was a wicked man. I can't look to him. I can't look to Manasseh. He said, I'm going to go all the way back. And by the way, before Manasseh, there was other kings going all the way back to Solomon and then to David. He said, I think I'll just go all the way back to David and see what God did. You know what he did? He chose the right heroes in his life. He chose to honor and glorify men that he knew stood by God. You know what we honor and glorify today? We honor and glorify sports heroes, materialism, wealth, and money. We honor wickedness. Let me tell you something. This country is so wicked. It's horrible. The wickedness and the evil that's flashed on the screen and on the internet day after day. And Josiah said, by the way, we need a president who'll get the country back on track. Amen. Yeah, we need it. And I'm saying to you today that he didn't use his age as an excuse. And by the way, he didn't use his home as an excuse. Right, amen. My daddy was a bad guy. Get over it. Amen. Amen? My daddy didn't teach me right. Well, that doesn't mean there's not a Bible for you today. Amen? Amen. And we live in a nation where we want to follow the excuses of the previous generation. Hey, I want to tell you something. None of that holds water with God. God expects everyone to own their own individual responsibility, just like Josiah did. And he said, I'm not going to use any of that as an excuse. I'm going to find the right kind of hero. Let me tell you who ought to be good heroes in your life are preachers. Preachers ought to be the best heroes in our life. Amen. Preachers. Young ladies, you know who ought to be your heroes is godly ladies in your church. That's who ought to be our heroes. Amen? Amen. We got the wrong heroes in our world. Josiah said, I'm going to go all the way back to David, my father. I'm going to see what he did. I'm going to see his faith. I'm going to see his love for God. I'm going to see him serving God. He didn't use any excuses. He said, I'm going to find the right heroes. I want to ask you today, who are your heroes? Who do you honor? Who is it in life that influences you? I'm going to say you need the right kind of heroes. Who's your hero? LeBron. Michael Jordan. All these Hollywood names. Who are they? I want to tell you something. We live in an evil world. An evil world where we cannot make this world our heroes. Hey, young man, make preachers your heroes. Amen. Make preachers your heroes. Make them the people that you love. Make them the people that you're... find somebody that's godly and try to be like them. Amen. He said, I want David, my father, to be my example. Oh, listen, we need the right kind of heroes in our world today. Who's your heroes? Does your hero have 8 million piercings and 5,000 different colors in their hair? Is that your hero? Is that your hero? No, let's let godly people be our heroes. That's what Josiah did. That's how he got back on track. He said, I want some heroes. I don't believe in worshiping preachers. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, we ought to hold them in honor and esteem. And we ought to look to them and say, thank God for preachers. No preacher's perfect. Amen? No preacher's perfect. I wake up to that realization every day. But I want to tell you something. Preachers are the ones we need to honor. Missionaries, evangelists, people serving God, soul winners, people, godly, faithful ladies raising their children in their homes. Read books of the past of godly people, missionaries, David Brainerd, Whitfield, the Wesleys. Man, make them your heroes. We got the wrong heroes today. They're the wrong heroes. But this is what helped Josiah get back on track. He had David, the one that he was going to follow. There's a second thing he did. Notice, second thing he did is he decided to walk as a straight arrow. He decided to walk as a straight arrow. Look at this in verse number 3. Verse number 2. Go back to verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. And notice this, he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. You know what that means? He lived straight as an arrow. He didn't live to the right, and he didn't live to the left. You know that's how we ought to live. We ought to live straight as an arrow. Amen. Declining not to the right, declining not to the left, aiming straight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Good. Amen. Let me tell you, that's how we ought to live. He said, I'm gonna live straight as an arrow. When the right tries to grab a hold of me, no. When the left tries to grab a hold of me, nope. I'm going to live straight as an arrow. Amen. Hey, if you'll pattern your Christian life after an arrow, you ever seen an arrow, somebody shoot it and go, woo, 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 boink, and it hits the target? Arrows don't do that. They're straight. That's exactly how we ought to be. Our world needs straight arrows. That's what Josiah decided to do. You know, if you ever want to get back on track, if you ever want to be on track for God, you got to be straight as an arrow. Oh, that's a wonderful life to live. Amen? Truth and right are always straight as arrows. They don't decline to the right. They don't decline to the left. They always just keep on the right path. They're straight. They're solid. That's the kind of path we all ought to pattern our life at. I could picture Josiah over here on the right. This guy is cunningly devising a plan that he can whisper in the king's ear to get his approval. And, you know, like Haman did in the king's ear. I can see him. Oh, I can manipulate this 8-year-old boy. Hey, king, this is what we need to do. This is important in our kingdom, and we need to follow this. Josiah, 8-year-old boy, says, you know what? David didn't do that. He said, I think I'll just stay straight as an arrow. Don't you think that offended the guy on the right? Well, here's the guy on the left. He's starting to whisper a few words, too. Hey, king, if you just do this, if you just follow this plan, if you just follow what I say here, hey, This is exactly the way our kingdom needs to go. You know what he did? He said, no. You know what his heart was on? His heart was simply on doing what's right. What's right was what's whispering in his ear. And that is what gave him the ability to get Israel back on track. Hey, I want to tell you something. We have one God. He's the one we need to listen to when it comes to being on track for God. So David had the right kind of heroes. I mean, Josiah had the right kind of heroes. He was straight as an arrow. But there's a third thing that Scripture realizes he did, is that he sought after God. Notice verse 3. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began to seek after God. Amen. Hey, he was already 8 years into his reign from the time he was 8 years old. You know, he was 16 years old. He's a teenager. By the way, I believe teenagers ought to be the best example in the church. You say, what? Yeah, because in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Every part of us. Teenagers ought to be an example. Amen. I believe that. Oh, teenagers need to rise up today. Take a hold of Josiah with all the pressures and all the whispering in his ear and all of the bad background. He said, I'm just going to stay straight as an arrow and I'm just going to keep on doing right. Oh, hear me, teenager. That's the key today. You're going to have a lot of teenagers face peer pressure. You got to be a certain way to be accepted in the world today. If you just follow what this certain way, if you just do what we want you to do, let me tell you something, young person, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Just listen to God. And listen to what the Holy Spirit of God through His Word speaks to your heart, and your life will be blessed and on the right track. Amen. He sought God. You see, I think he was spending time in his Bible. I think he was spending time with the Lord. I think he'd find a quiet place in the morning, pour his heart out to God and say, God, I got to lead this. Israel, this is your people. Lord, I'm thrust into this leadership and I'm 16 years old. Help me, Lord. He sought after the Lord. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God in your life? We know we're seeking God in our life when we're spending time with Him. When God is eliminated from our time, He's also eliminated from our sight. You cannot separate seeking God from spending time with God. We got this idea, well, I'll spend quality time with God and not quantity time. Let me tell you something, that mule won't pull. It won't pull. God is teaching us to seek our God. Seek Him, Christian. Put your eyes on Him. Seek Him, young person. Put your eyes on Him. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him. You see, this is how he kept on track. Hey, your Bible reading in the morning will be a whole lot much of a help for you when you face the peer pressures that are out there in the world today. Can I show you number four? The fourth thing he did is, he took out the garbage. Amen? He took out the garbage. Look at verse number 3. Notice what it says here. He, in the middle of the verse, it says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, the carved images and the molten images, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. He said, I want to see this. And the images that were on high above them, and he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he break in pieces and made dust of them. He did a good job of it, didn't he? He made dust of them. 16-year-old boy. And strode it upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. Woo! You know what he was doing? He's taking out the garbage. We need to do that in our lives. Years ago, I was a school principal when I first got out of Bible college. Boy, that was an experience. Amen. But I was a school principal. We had a young man who had a bad home life. Horrible home life. And for some reason, his parents put him in our Christian school. His name was Mick. And Mick came to our Christian school. I mean, Mick didn't know hardly anything about Christianity. Mick came to school. I had to teach him all the basics. And Mick was the kind, he would ask an innocent question, and all the other kids would laugh at him that were 10 years younger than him because he didn't know. He didn't know the basics. There's just something about somebody like that that gets a hold of my heart. I said, I'm going to take this boy under my wing, and I'm going to try to help him. And Mick came to school one day. You know, we'd have chapel in school every day, and I'd preach to him, and hey, listen, preaching will help take the garbage out. Amen. Amen. You get a kid under some good old-fashioned leather lung, not one of these limp-wristed dudes. Amen. Get some real solid preaching under some young man. Boy, it'll change him. And old Mick, he came to me after chapel one day. And he had tears in his eyes. And he said, Brother Larson, he said, I've been listening to all kinds of music that I shouldn't be listening to. He said, what do I do? I said, and this is kind of back in the day of cassettes and albums, amen? Back in my day, I'm not an 8-track man. That's some of y'all, okay? But he said, I got some music I haven't been listening to, and you preached on it today. And I think, what do I need to do? He said, should I give it away? I said, no, then somebody else gets to listen to it. I said, you bring it in. Next day he came to school, big old pile of records and tapes. And he brought them into the floor of my office, and I gave him a hammer. I said, you know what to do with that, don't you? He took that hammer and smashed every one of them. Man, we had rock music flying all over my office. I mean, it was going everywhere. And he took it. He willingly got rid of them. I looked at him. I said, how do you feel? I feel good. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something. Mick that day decided to take out the trash. That's what Josiah did. He had to take out the garbage. Every one of us get garbage in our life. And you know what you got to do? You got to take it out. You got to take it out. You say, what do you mean? I mean, come to this old altar and give it back to God. And don't ever go back to the garbage. I mean, the cesspool of garbage on television, on the internet. Listen, that stuff, Josiah said, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. He gave it up. And that's what we need to do in our lives. When garbage comes in, we've got to take it out. Give it to God. Give it back in your life. That's what Josiah did. He went, he strewn it, he ground all these images of Baal, the groves, the carved images, he ground them to powder. He wanted to be sure they could never come back again. Boy, that's so important in our lives. How about you, young person? How about you? Is there any garbage that God wants you to take out of your life? Take it out. Take it out. If not, it'll keep you off track. It'll keep you off track. Oh, how many lives get off track and they never get back on the right track. And their destination ends up in horrible places because they're not on the right track. I say to you today, there's another thing that made him get on the right track. Notice verse number 8. Notice what happened here. It says in verse 8, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he said, all garbage is gone. Now what do I do? He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, Mr. M. We'll call him Mr. M. Amen. The governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Here's what he started doing. He started making much of God's house. And all the rest of the verses, he's interested in repairing the house of God, putting it all back together. Let's pay some attention to God's house, as we said. Can I tell you? Stay in church with all your life and you'll stay on the right track. Amen. Decide never to get out of church because it'll only bring you off on the wrong track. And the devil use any little thing. Devil use any little thing. That person didn't shake my hand. That person, they gave me a mean look. I don't know, maybe it was indigestion. You never know. Amen? It's surprising to me how many crazy things the devil will tell God's people. The devil loves to put thoughts in our head that don't even exist because he has a plan for you. And that plan is to somehow get us off track. He don't care how he does it. He's shrewd. He could use something good to get you off track, making you think you're doing something good. But when you decide to dedicate yourself to the house of God and make much of God's house and the preaching of God's word, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a good track in your life. You know, I've been going to church since I was born. Amen? Back when Noah got off of the ark. Amen? I've been going to church since I was a baby. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't give it up for the world. You say, what would you do, preacher, if you couldn't preach anymore? I'd be sitting in a pew with you. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever quit church. Don't ever let the devil deceive you out of church. Because he's just trying to get you off track. See what he did? He made it a big deal. He made God's house a big deal. Notice what they did in verse 10. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had oversight in the house of the Lord. They gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. They paid attention to God's house. Now, he's talking about here in the passages, the context is the physical appearance of the house. But the application is the spiritual in our life of what we do with God's house. Amen. You say, hey, has there been a time when you woke up and said, I don't feel like going to church today? You don't have to answer that question because I know the answer. Amen. But I want to tell you something to faithful people. I want to say thank God for you who are faithful. Thank God for you. You bless my heart every day. Amen. And I want to tell you something. You who are faithful to this church, you are the result of souls getting saved. Amen. And lives getting changed and the work of God getting done. Your faithfulness. Right. Amen. Amen. That's what gets it done. They made much of God's house. You know, when a teenager gets 18, they leave the house and say, hey, you know, I can do what I want to do. I don't want to go down to that church anymore. I got plans for my life. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. You better be careful. you better watch out, because that's the perfect place to get you off track. Amen. Perfect time. Somebody says, I met a boy or a girl, and boy, I'm in love. Can I tell you, you better make sure that that's right according to God's word. Because if not, it can get you off track. It can get you off track. You say, that won't happen to me, preacher. Do you know, man, how many people have said that before you? Oh, it happens to all of us. It can happen to any of us. So we have to decide. We have to get a conviction in our heart about God's house and say, I love it because I want the right track in my life. Israel was completely changed because of an 8-year-old boy. He didn't have anybody to support him. He didn't have anybody behind him. He didn't have a background of somebody who taught him what was right. He just decided in his young heart to follow the Lord, and that was enough. That was enough. Oh, I tell you, something else happened to him. I want to show you one more thing this morning. I want you to notice in verse 14, something happened here. It says, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law. Notice it's not a book. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Now, to make a long story short, Shaphan gives it to the king. The king is so touched by the words of the book of the law, he rends his clothes. He tears his clothes off because he recognizes he does not compare with the purity of the law of the word that he's reading. According to verse 19, 20. He goes on, and the notice verse 29 now, and the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. They went up to the house of the Lord, all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, the Levites, and all the people, great and small. Everybody comes to the house of the Lord right here. And what are they going to do? And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant, which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. All the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, lastly, they made much of God's word. They made much of God's word. This old book that Shaphan found had gathered dust in some back room of the temple, the house of God, that was in ill repair. What's this old book? He says. He opens the book off and wipes the dust off and opens this old book. Hey, this is what God gave Moses. And God gave him Moses, talk about the first five books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, the book of the laws. He began to open it, began to read it. Don't you hear the stories of what God did with Moses? God did all these things. And there he is, hearing the word. And everybody in Israel says, all right, everybody gather together. Put down your plows. Put down your weapons. Put down everything you got. Everybody go to the temple. We're going to read the word. Wouldn't that be nice if our president gathered everybody in America together on the steps and says, we're going to read the Bible. We're going to read the Bible again. By the way, can you see how far away we are from something like that happening in our country? How far we are. Horrible things. But they made much of the Bible. I want to tell you something. The Bible is truly going to be your light in life. Have the wisdom to get in it and follow it. Make much of it. Love to hear the preaching of the word. Man, when I was a young teenager, the hotter the preacher, the better. Amen. Amen? Something about when he stepped on my toes, it felt good all the way to my heart. Something about that. It did something in my heart, my life. And I want to tell you something. Make much of God's word. Make much of this old black book. You say, what's in the Bible? Wonderful things in the Bible. If you'll hear what God says, make much of your life. Get the junk out of your life. Take out all that garbage. Make the house of God your thing. Don't listen to the left or the right. Just stay straight as an arrow in your life. Follow what he did. You know what he did? He brought a whole nation back to God. Because everything was against him. But if God's for you, who can be against you? That's what he did. Oh, would to God you and I, our lives, will be on that track today. Maybe your life isn't really right on that track. Why don't you put it on that track today? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning.